Good, good, good. If you could open your Bibles, please, to Genesis chapter 37. Genesis chapter 37. Until August 15, I think that's about 2 more weeks, probably. But I just want to thank Pastor Schaefer and Mr. Mendez isn't here, but for the opportunity to be able to serve here at church. Here at Vision Baptist Church, it's just been a tremendous blessing to me. I would say this summer has been a very important summer in my life. I've learned a lot of things. I could say I've seen what I need to work on. And I know the Lord's preparing me for the ministry. That's what He's called me to do. And I love it. I really do. But it's tough. I'm not going to lie. It's tough. But I know the Lord's preparing me. And I know for a fact this summer has been a very important summer to me, and I will never forget it. Just the opportunity to be able to serve here at Vision Baptist, and also all the other things that happen outside of this opportunity that I've had to work here in my life. All the things that have happened in my life this summer, and I've made a lot of mistakes. I've learned, from my mistakes. And I just want to build off of that. I want to learn from that. And I just want to thank Pastor Schaefer and Mr. Mendez for the opportunity. And, of course, all of you for accepting me, for giving me the privilege to be able to serve here. But Genesis chapter 37. So the lessons I have for you this morning is we would like to see lessons from the life of Joseph. Lessons from the life of Joseph. Like I said on Wednesday night, the story of Joseph is one of my personal favorite stories from the Bible. I just believe the life story of Joseph is a complete masterpiece made by God. And as we go through the whole story of Joseph, we'll try and go through half of it this morning, and then we'll try next Sunday. We'll go ahead and try and finish it. But because of time, we won't read every chapter, every verse in the Bible of this story. But we'll go ahead and start with Genesis chapter 37, verse 1. And I'm going to ask Brother Gonzalez if you could please stand and read verses 1 and 2. Verses 1 and 2, I'll give a quick rundown from it. We read here that in verses 1 and 2, Joseph would feed the flock with his brothers and would report all the wrong his brothers did to his father. You can see here that Joseph had integrity at an early age. Joseph had integrity at an early age. We'll see in verse 3 that Joseph was a favorite. Now, we won't read every verse because of time. It is a pretty long story. It's got multiple chapters in it. We'll see in verse 3, Joseph was a favorite. And his father would give Joseph a very special gift, and that was a coat of many colors. Now, because of the different stages we are in here, some of you know this whole story, and some of you guys don't. So I will have to explain some of it, not all of it. But like I said, because of time, I won't go deep into reading every verse. But like I said, there's some of us that do know the story, and some of us that don't. So because of there's people in here that might not know the story, I have to explain everything. So in verse 3, like I said, Joseph was a favorite, and his father gave him a coat of many colors, the Bible says in verse 3. In verse number 4 of Genesis chapter 37, the brothers see that, Joseph's brothers see that, and they start to hate Joseph. In verses 5 and 8, Joseph begins to have these dreams. He tells the dreams to his brothers, and they hate him more because of his dreams. Joseph, in verses 9 and 10, Joseph then has another similar dream. I'm going to ask, let me see here. Mr. Dahlman, can you read verses 9 and 10, please, of Genesis chapter 37?
And he dreamed yet another dream and told it to his brothers.
Joseph having another dream. So he has two dreams. He has the first dream, which was very similar to the second dream. But in this dream, he sees that he's in a very important place. Joseph is at a very important spot in his life. where he sees his brothers kneeling down before him. And he tells his dream to his brothers. Remember, Joseph is the youngest brother, 17-year-old boy, the youngest brother. And he tells his older brothers, hey, I had a dream where you guys are kneeling down in front of me, bowing down to me. And his brothers don't like that. They don't like it. They hate him even more for it. He also tells his father, and the Bible says that he observed the saying, what Joseph was saying. You notice he doesn't say he just listened, he observed. When somebody really pays attention, this is what I've learned. When someone's listening to me, I can tell they're really listening to me if they're looking at me, if they're looking into my eyes. Now, Joseph's father is really observing what Joseph is saying. It could have been going through his mind, what is this guy, what is he dreaming about? Why is he having these weird dreams? What's going on here? And then we see in verses 12 through 18 of Genesis 37, Joseph's father sends him to go check on his brothers. We see here that Joseph's brothers go out to go work with the flock. So Joseph's father sends him to go check on them. And at the end of verse 18, they see Joseph's brothers see Joseph coming from afar away, and then they plan to kill their own brother. We see in verses 19 through 22, they see the dreamer coming. That's what they label Joseph, the dreamer. They see Joseph, the dreamer, coming and plan to kill and cast him into a pit. They then make up a lie, saying that an evil beast, they plan to make an evil lie that an evil beast killed him. Reuben, one of the older brothers, then tries to interfere into the plan to not kill Joseph all the way. To instead just... let me explain this. So Joseph's brothers are now planning to kill Joseph and throw him into a pit. But Reuben, one of the brothers, tries to insist, no, don't kill him. Don't kill Joseph. Just throw him into the pit. But Reuben's true intentions was to just throw him into the pit so then later he can come, take him out of the pit, and take him back to his father. Reuben didn't want to kill him. We then go to verses 23 to 28. His brothers then strip Joseph of his coat. Joseph has now come into the presence of his brothers. They strip him of his coat and throw him. Remember that special coat that his father had given him of many colors? Because Joseph was the dad's favorite. They take that coat away from him and throw Joseph into a pit. His brothers sit down and begin eating around Joseph, where Joseph was in that pit. They then see, Joseph's brothers then see a company of Ishmaelites coming by, heading to Egypt. They sell him to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And the Ishmaelites take Joseph to Egypt. We see in verses 29 to 35, Reuben returns to his brothers. Remember Reuben. Reuben was the one that did not want to kill Joseph. He just wanted to throw Joseph in the pit so later on he could come back, take him out of the pit, and take him back to his father. In verses 29 to 35, we see that Reuben returns to his brothers and sees that Joseph is not in the pit anymore. And the Bible says that Reuben rent of his clothes. He was sad. He was devastated. Joseph's brothers then kill a goat and dip Joseph's coat in the goat's blood and use that as a cover-up as if an animal had killed Joseph. They then tell Joseph's father that Joseph was eaten by a beast. So we see here everything that's going on. His own brothers, Joseph's own brothers, just imagine that. Imagine somebody from your family betraying you like that. They throw him into a pit. They start to eat around the pit. They're eating. Then they see a company of Ishmaelites coming by, and they sell their own brother to the Ishmaelites. The Ishmaelites take him to Egypt. They use that special coat, that beautiful coat that his father had given him. They dip it in goat's blood and tell their father a lie that Joseph had been eaten by a wild beast, which he wasn't. It was a total lie. We then see in verse 36, chapter 37 then ends with the Bible telling us that Joseph was sold into Egypt to a man named Potiphar, one of Pharaoh's top officers. And right here, I want to see point number one from lessons of the life of Joseph. We see the betrayal. The betrayal. That was the first lesson that we can see here from the story of Joseph. Here at the end of this chapter, we receive a very, very important piece of the mysterious puzzle or plan that God had for Joseph's life. Right now, this piece doesn't make sense to the human eye. I want you to put yourself in Joseph's shoes just for a moment. Imagine this. You're having these dreams, right? That there's going to be his brothers. People are going to be bowing down to him. You know, so he's already thinking, man, I'm gonna be like a king or something. I'm going to have a high spot somewhere. But all of a sudden, that dream that he had, that came from God, obviously, wasn't going how he had dreamed it. It wasn't going his way. And then all of a sudden, everything starts going the opposite way. His own brothers betray him. They sell him to a company of Ishmaelites, and then those Ishmaelites sell him into Egypt to a man named Potiphar. Right now, this piece of the story does not make sense. Pretend that you don't know, for some of you, pretend that you don't know the end of this story. This doesn't make sense. It does not make sense at all. It doesn't make sense. But this piece can also fit into your personal life as well. Sometimes in our life, we may experience betrayal. I think that happens to everybody at least once in their life. We may experience betrayal. And you just got to keep in mind that God is in control. God is in control. Whether it's good, God uses good for good, and God uses bad for good. It doesn't matter because it's God. It doesn't matter if it was bad or if it was good. Because God will use it for what? Good. Because God is what? God is good. Amen? And it doesn't matter what happens. Like I said, sometimes we may experience betrayal, but we have to keep in mind that God is in control and that he allowed that betrayal to happen in Joseph's life. If you have ever experienced betrayal in your life, God let it happen for a reason. That piece in his life was necessary. It just had to happen for what was coming later on in Joseph's life. The same thing with betrayal. That life lesson that we learned here. This piece that happened, that could or already has happened in your life, had to happen in order for you to reach what God has in store for you. His plan. Because like I said, God uses good for good, but God also uses bad for good. Amen? You may not see the whole picture right now. Joseph did not see the whole picture right now. He just knew that he had a dream, two dreams, that his brothers were going to be bowing down to him as if he was a king or had an important position. Joseph could not, like I said, Joseph could not see the entire picture of what God had in store for his life, but God could. Just like in your life, I don't know what you're experiencing right now in your life, but God, and maybe you don't understand, maybe you were doing good, I don't know what the situation is, maybe you're the one that made the mistake, I don't know. But like I said, God uses good for good and bad for good, because God is good. And God is in control of everything. And like I said, God can see the whole picture. He can see that he knows the end of the story. And he knows what is needed to get to the end of the story. And let me just remind you, God has something beautiful for each and every one of us in here this morning. And it doesn't matter what you say, I'm old, I'm getting to the end. If you're still alive, God's still working in you, amen? You still got time. You're still breathing. You said, well, I'm on those, I'm on an oxygen tank. Well, you're still breathing. God's still working in your life. Amen. God sees the whole picture. So the first piece of the puzzle we see here for Joseph's life was the betrayal. The betrayal had to happen. Let's go to Genesis chapter 39. Genesis chapter 39. Around what time do you end, Pastor? Okay. Genesis 39. Verses 1 through 6. Potiphar, the captain of the guard, bought Joseph. The Bible says in verse 2 that the Lord was with Joseph and that he made Joseph a prosperous man. Potiphar saw this and made him overseer of his house and put him in charge of everything he had. And because of this, the Lord blessed Potiphar's house. God blessed Potiphar's house through Joseph. We see then in verse 7 through 9 of chapter 39, the Bible says that after a while, Potiphar's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph. Joseph was a handsome man. I do believe Joseph was a handsome man. And she tempted Joseph into sleeping with her. Now, if you're having Potiphar's wife, Potiphar was a powerful man, captain of the guard, the Bible says, working straight for Pharaoh, he had to have a very beautiful wife. I strongly believe that. He was an important man, a powerful man. She was a beautiful woman. And like I said, we see that in verses 7 through 9, the Bible says that after a while, Potiphar's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph. She saw Joseph and she liked him. We see in verses 10 through 19, the Bible says that day by day, Potiphar's wife tried to get Joseph to sleep with her. But Joseph would always resist. A man of integrity, amen? The Bible then says that one day Joseph was in the house when nobody was around and she caught him by his garment and he ran out and left his garment in her hand. She then accuses Joseph of him trying to sleep with her. So we see here Joseph in verses 10 through 19. Joseph's just doing his normal thing. He's working inside Potiphar's house, working. A hardworking young man with integrity. No, the Bible says that, and that when that happened, nobody was inside the house. Just Joseph and Potiphar's wife. Potiphar's wife tries forcing Joseph to sleep with him and grabs him by his garment. But the Bible says that Joseph fled. He ran away from that. And Potiphar's wife stayed with the garment. Joseph was a man of integrity. He says in verses 10 through 19, he did not want to sin against his master, Potiphar, nor did he want to sin against God. Joseph was a man of God. He truly loved the Lord. He ran out and then Potiphar's wife did not get what she wanted. She then accuses Joseph wrongly that he was trying to sleep with her. We then see in verses 20 through 23, Joseph is then thrown into prison. But the Bible says that God was still with Joseph and showed him mercy and favor. So we see here this man of integrity. He does what's right. He could have easily slept with Potiphar's wife. The Bible says that nobody was in that house, that was in the house at that time. But he decided to do what was right in front of God's eyes. That leads us to lesson number two. Life lesson number two. Integrity. Integrity. Something very, very important. And something that should be very important in each and every one of our lives. Integrity. Being able to do the right thing even when nobody is looking. That's very important. This actually challenges me a lot. I want to do the right thing when nobody is looking. Amen. I don't know if that's your desire as well this morning. I don't know if you ever heard the saying, honesty is not always the best policy. Has anyone heard of that? Honesty is not always... Have you heard of that? Has anybody ever been in a situation where this applies to you? Honesty is not always the best policy. There's been a time where you were honest, but you did not get the right outcome that you wanted or you thought you deserved. Raise your hand if you've ever been there before. Okay, we got a few people. I've been there myself. And you know what? That hurts. Because in your mind, you think you're being honest. You think you're going to get the blessing, I should say, for doing what was right, but you're the one that ends up getting hurt or in trouble. Right? Honesty is not always the best policy, but in God's eyes it is. In God's eyes, it will always be the best policy. Maybe to man it's not, but to God it will be. I know sometimes honesty can make you gain something or can make you lose something. Here we saw that when Joseph was being honest, Joseph lost something he worked so hard for. But Joseph still decided to do what was right in front of God's eyes. And that, folks, builds integrity. That builds integrity. Doing the right thing when you know that you can easily get away with it without anybody knowing will bring blessing to your life. Maybe this piece of the puzzle did not make sense for Joseph again. Remember in the beginning, Joseph was having these dreams that one day his brothers would be bowing down to him and he would be in a very important spot in his life. This piece of the puzzle did not make sense to Joseph again. Integrity. He did the right thing, but he was still falsely accused. But let me tell you something. Who's in control? God. And it doesn't matter if it's good or bad, because he's so good, loving, kind, and merciful, it comes out good still. Like I said, maybe this piece of the puzzle did not make sense for Joseph, but God had to let this happen because he can see the whole picture. And he knows what puzzles are needed to complete the picture because God can see the whole picture. Joseph couldn't see the whole picture. He didn't know that he had to get betrayed and he had to go through a situation where he did the right thing but was still wrongly accused. He didn't know he had to do that in order to get to the plan that God has for him towards the end of the story. But God knew that he had to put Joseph through that. That was necessary. That was part of the piece of the masterpiece that God was creating for Joseph's life, for that plan that he had for Joseph. It was necessary. Like I said right here, integrity. Maybe some of us need to work on integrity this morning. I don't know what you're struggling with. Maybe you need to get right with God and you need to fix that. I don't know what it is. And you need to start building integrity. And you know what? Maybe it won't be the best outcome for you. Like I said, that's happened to me before. But you know what? God sees your heart. And he sees if you're truly trying to do the right thing. Amen? Yeah. Let's go ahead and move on to Genesis chapter 40. Genesis chapter 40. So we have so far the story of Joseph. 17-year-old boy. His brothers betray him. They try to kill him. They throw him into a pit. They don't end up killing him. But his own brothers sell him to the Ishmaelites. And the Ishmaelites sell him to a man named Potiphar in Egypt. Joseph is now working for Potiphar in his house. And Potiphar sees that he's doing a good job. He starts raising him up. He gives him more responsibility. He trusts him more. And then Joseph is at a high spot, has a high place in Potiphar's house. He's being blessed. He's doing everything right. Then he's falsely accused of doing something that he did not do. Joseph was still always doing right. He was falsely accused. He's now thrown into jail. So Joseph is in jail right now. Then we see in Genesis chapter 40, verses 1 through 7. The chief butler and the chief baker of the king of Egypt were thrown into prison where Joseph was. So we see the chief butler and the chief baker both thrown into prison. Later on, they both have dreams. Joseph notices that they are both sad and asks them why they are sad. We see in verse 8, the chief butler and the chief baker then tell Joseph that they had a dream they don't understand and they have no interpreter to help them understand the dream. But right away, Joseph tells them that the interpretations belong to the Lord and then offers to help them understand the dreams. So remember this 17-year-old boy named Joseph, or teenager I should say, has his own dreams in the beginning, But as we keep going through the story, we see that God uses his gift of being able to interpret dreams. And right here we see in verse 8 that the chief butler and the chief baker then tell Joseph that they had a dream, but they don't have an interpreter to do it. But then Joseph offers his help to them to be able to interpret the dream. And in verses 9 through 13, the chief butler then tells Joseph the dream he had. Joseph then interprets the dream, saying that in 3 days, Pharaoh will restore the chief butler position back to him. So the chief butler and chief baker both lost their positions. They were working for Pharaoh. They lost those positions. They have a dream. They both have a dream. They both ask Joseph for help. And Joseph tells the chief butler that the chief butler will be having his position back. Then we see in verses 16 through 19, he then interprets the chief baker's dream, and it is the total opposite of the chief butler. In 3 days, the chief butler would be hung from a tree, and the birds will be eating the flesh off of him. So we have two guys here. One has a dream that he will be getting his position back in 3 days, and the other has a dream that he will be hung from a tree in 3 days. We then see him here in verses 20 through 22, we see that both of the dreams that Joseph interpreted came to pass as he said would happen. So Joseph interpreted the dreams precisely. They happened just how he said. And I'm going to ask, let me see, Brother Matt, could you please read verse 23? Yes. Him. Let me go back a bit. In verses 16 through 19, Joseph tells the chief butler to remember him when he gets out of prison. But we see here in verse 23 that the chief butler forgot to mention Joseph, about Joseph, about what he had gone through, that everything was not, that he was falsely accused. The chief butler forgot to mention that when he got out of prison. And in verse 23, we see here again that the chief butler did not remember Joseph, but he forgot him. And this brings us to the third piece of the puzzle. But let's keep on reading in Genesis chapter 41. Genesis chapter 41. In verses 1 through 14, we see here that Pharaoh had two different dreams that meant the same thing. The Bible says that his spirit was troubled. Pharaoh's spirit was troubled. And Pharaoh called in all the magicians and wisest men that Egypt had, but there was no one that could interpret Pharaoh's dreams. That's when the chief butler remembers about a young man named Joseph and recommends Joseph to Pharaoh. But in order for this to happen, Joseph had to wait 2 full years until the chief butler remembered about Joseph. So Joseph, remember, Joseph helps the chief butler interpret his dream while he was in prison. And he said that he would get his position back. He got his position back, and he forgot to mention Joseph. 2 full years passed by until the chief butler remembered of a man named Joseph that could interpret dreams. And we see here puzzle number three, which is waiting. Waiting. Joseph had to wait 2 full years to finally have an opportunity to get out of prison. I don't know about you, but 2 years is a long time. For me, that's a long time. That's a lot of wait. One of my weaknesses is that I'm very impatient. I'm like, I need to do it like this. I need to do it like this. Something I've learned in my personal life, they say losing weight fast is bad for you. I always lose weight fast because I'm very impatient. But they said if you lose weight slowly, it stays off longer. And every time I lose weight, I gain it back quick. I've lost weight twice. The first time I lost 50 pounds and it all came back. And then I lost 40 pounds, and then it came back. I'm going to go now for a third time, okay? But this time I learned, and I would lose those pounds quick. I would lose them like in 3 months or 4 months, you know? I would still eat healthy, but I just want to do it quick because I'm very impatient. But they said if you lose weight slowly, it stays off longer. So now, instead of losing weight this time, now that I'm planning to lose weight again, instead of losing it in under 3 to 4 months, I'm going to try to do it. I'm going to try and do it in a whole year. You know, I think about a year, I'm like, oh, that's a long time. But it's worth it. It's worth the wait. And like I said, here we see that Joseph had to wait 2 full years in prison. Imagine that. Just sitting in a cell waiting 2 years. He had done nothing wrong. He was wrongly accused, falsely accused. He was thrown into jail for no reason, for doing the right thing. And like I said, I don't know about you, but 2 years is a long time. I think Joseph felt like if he was wasting his time in life waiting in jail for no reason. And I'm pretty sure it made no sense to him on why he had to wait 2 full years. But Joseph had to keep in mind that God's timing is always, always perfect. Just how God had Joseph waiting in the prison cell, God will sometimes have you waiting as well. Like I said, I know waiting is it's not fun, right? You're not very comfortable. You want to know the answer already. You want to know what's going to come next. But God will sometimes have us in a position like that, just how Joseph was. And you need to wait until he opens the doors for you for the next opportunity in your life. Joseph had to wait those 2 years. This piece of the puzzle, even though it did not make sense to Joseph again, having to wait 2 full years, when he thought that the opportunity came to be able to interpret the dreams of the chief butler and the chief baker, he thought, oh, this is my chance right here to get out of prison. I'm going to interpret their dreams, and then they're going to tell Pharaoh, or I don't know who, and they're going to get me out of here. That's what he thought. That's what he probably thought. Those were his plans. But no, the Bible says that the chief baker forgot him. Excuse me, chief butler forgot him. And 2 years passed until he then remembered Joseph again. But you know who was the one that was in control of that? You know who did that? It was God. It was God that made the chief butler forget about Joseph. And he didn't let him remember until 2 years later. You know, God had to do something in between those 2 years. I don't know what it was. But like I said, God's timing is always perfect. Maybe you're in a waiting season in your life. I don't know what you're waiting for. You're probably waiting from an answer from God. You just got to wait. That's a very important life lesson we see here from the life of Joseph. You just have to wait. And there's and most of the time there's nothing you can do about it. Nothing at all. But you just have to wait. And like I said, Joseph did not understand this. But it was a very important piece of the masterpiece that God had for Joseph. First was the betrayal. The second one was testing his integrity. And the third one was waiting. Three very important pieces for Joseph's life. Now, like I said, remember, he had a dream that he would be at a very important spot and his brothers would be kneeling before him. He had it all planned out. Oh, I'm going to be something important. I'm the top dog here. But in his eyes, he saw that nothing was going how he had dreamed. And he had that dream twice. That dream was from God. And he was sure of it. Oh, my brothers are going to be bowing down to me. But God had to do it his way. Because God's way is perfect. He needed that betrayal. Joseph needed that betrayal in his life. Joseph needed to be tested on his integrity. And Joseph then had to wait. And those three pieces are very important for the position God had for Joseph. We'll go ahead and stop there, and next Sunday, we'll go ahead and try and finish up the rest of the story.